history through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are some stories out there that need to be told, and boy, are we going to learn that today. The idea behind this show is to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice, to preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And along the way, we learn a lot. We're educated, we're entertained, so often inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. And we're going to hear from a Pearl Harbor survivor today. But before we get to him, I wanted to introduce you to one of the men who's interviewed him. And he's interviewed quite a few World War II veterans, and there's a reason behind it. He would have been a World War II veteran if his parents let him sign up a little earlier than he did, or if tragedy had not struck his family. Stan Smith of San Diego, California is our guest, 89 years old. Stan, you're a pretty busy guy, aren't you?
I really am, and I love it.
And what you're talking about is this work of just what we talk about on this show every week, going out, finding World War II veterans, and recording their stories so they aren't lost to the invisibility of history that we never get a chance to hear. What got you started? Why did you decide to get involved with preserving veteran stories?
Yes, I guess I have to take you back to 1933. It starts there for a couple of moments. I'll talk about it. My brother was 5 years older than me. I was 15 when he was 20. Mm-hmm. He joined the Army in 1943. He was killed in the same year, in 1943, in the invasion of Sicily, Italy. When he was killed, well, he was 20. Yeah, I was just 15. So ever since then, I wanted to join, you know, but I couldn't until I became 18. My mother wouldn't sign. So I've had a very full life doing many, many different occupations. I like to think that I was successful at all of them. So along came 2015, I thought I would try to find somebody. I couldn't find my brother's Purple Heart that I remember seeing when I was 15, and I was at the grave site when they brought his body back, and so my mother and father and my sister, we were all there, and he was given this Purple Heart to my mother. And over the years, I'd seen it once or twice, and then I lost track. I just thought she had it. Mm-hmm. Well, in the last 15 years, my mother, father, and sister all died, and I've never seen it since. Nobody can remember where it was, who got it. We had a very small family. So I guess I put two and two together and figured maybe one of the congressional representatives could help me. So I contacted Congressman Scott Peters, and I went to his office and told him what I was looking for. I spoke to a Sarah March, who was at that time collecting these stories herself. They were not doing a lot, you know. They didn't have anybody on the outside outreach like I do. So after we finished our business, she asked me would I like to volunteer with them, and I said absolutely. She told me what it was at the program, Veterans History Project. And so I started bringing in, when I go to restaurants, my barbershop, my attorney, everybody that I'm connected with. And I have developed a one-page flyer that tells about the program and to call me if there's any veterans, even ladies that were in the support of the wars. Mm-hmm. They're eligible. So lo and behold, everywhere I go, and I do this every day, day in and day out, 7 days a week, literally, I don't take off any day. I work 11 o'clock at night, and I start at 9 in the morning.
Doesn't that wear you out?
No, it doesn't.
Why not?
I love it. I just am so proud of what I do, meeting friends, acquaintances like the veteran that we're going to introduce. hearing these guys' stories, and it just means a lot to me because I was in the Navy for 2 years all over the Pacific, but the war had just ended 6 months. So I didn't see any fighting, although I was given one task of guarding some Japanese on Guam. And I had never even shot a BB gun in my life. And they gave me some automatic. I'm standing on in an airfield with 30 Japanese in a trench that they had dug. And they were 5 feet, and the trench was 6 feet. So they didn't need me, but I was thinking, oh, God, I hope nobody tries to escape, because I'd never even shot a rifle, a BB gun. That was new to me. Mm-hmm. I had missed my ship. It had left. So they had to do something with me. So somebody said, Smith, you stand here and guard over them. I said, okay. So anyway, that's why I do it, because the stories I hear, excuse me, sometimes get a little emotional. Well, if you want to know the truth, I always do. It's the truth. So,
well, these stories are powerful.
They are.
And the fact that you're preserving them, and you mentioned the Veterans History Project, that means all the interviews you do eventually end up in the Library of Congress. They're going to be there forever for folks to dial up and listen and understand what this time in our nation's history was like. You lived it. You were right there. Almost old enough to get in. Your brother was killed in World War II, and I don't want to gloss over that. What was your brother's name?
Alfred.
And I'm sure there have been times over these many decades since, and you mentioned you've been very successful in a number of different careers, one of them as a drummer for the biggest names in music, traveling all over the place. So you've rubbed elbows with the rich and famous. Your brother never got to have that kind of career.
No, he didn't.
What do you want people to know about your brother? And how often do you think about, wow, if he would have lived, he would have done this and this and this and this?
Yes, he would have. He was a very good kid. You know, I never saw him past my age of 15. That's when he went and joined the Army, and he did it as soon as he could. Naturally, over the years, I've always missed him that I didn't have anybody. But my story is nothing in compared to other people that lost several in the family and were horribly wounded and saw things that they will never forget. So mine is very minute, but it happened, and I was very sorry that it did. He played trumpet in the high school band, and I think that's part of the reason I just loved music, and my grandfather was responsible for bringing the first orchestra to Washington, D.C., so he went on radio. He was a very civic-minded person, very well-known. He was a CPA, I think. He made an appeal, and because of that, he was very successful, and Washington did contribute, and he was written up in a book called Who's Who of Washington, D.C. Hmm. So he introduced me to the first orchestra that came to D.C., Hans Kindler. I remember the name. He's a very famous conductor from Holland, I believe. And I was a little kid, but I remember seeing him, and they brought me up on stage to meet him, and that was a big deal to a little kid. But so I followed. I started practicing drums, and I went into the Navy and was selected to be the drummer on the ship. And anyway, I just had a career in that and several other things. And yes, I made a success, I like to think, in everything I've done.
And many people who can say that feel like they've done enough. But clearly you feel like you haven't done enough.
That's exactly right.
You've got this mission that keeps you going and going and going. How many veterans have you interviewed now?
I think probably 30 or 40, but I've just scratched the surface. Really well organized. I'm the director of this program for the Veterans Museum in Balboa Park. Mm-hmm. That's who actually I work for or volunteer for them. My job is to find veterans, and I have no trouble with that. I've been a lot of newspapers and magazines. So I get calls from veterans. Then I bring them here like I did with Stu and interview them. Then I send it down to the Veterans Museum. They tweak it a little bit, do a little editing. Then they send my material down to the Library of Congress. Mm-hmm. And for any of you that have not been there to the Veterans Museum, I'd like to recommend them very highly. They have so many programs down there. This is just one of them. So they're very busy in a lot of things. It's a beautiful building. There's artifacts of World War I, II, and all the wars and conflicts. Very memorable, interesting place. I would encourage everyone to go down there to the Veterans Museum right in Balboa Park.
And you're adding some living history to that with these interviews with veterans before it's too late, before they're gone. I think everyone listening applauds you for that. And just so I clarify, is this your way of honoring your brother's memory?
Yes, it is. It's partly for that and partly for my own satisfaction that I believe that I am doing a very worthwhile project for these veterans and their families are the most important as the veteran leaves. It's for their legacy, for their wife, their children, their grandchildren, who ultimately are saying, well, what did Grandpa do? What did he look like? They can click on a link and see their grandfather. And I got a call yesterday from a lady whose husband is not expected to live very long. She was telling me about him. She said, I should have called you before. And she's apologizing to me over the phone. And she said, I guess it's too late. And he just mumbles now. He's in assisted living. She said, I guess we can't do anything. And I said, of course we can. I'll come to you, to his assisted living place in Carlsbad. So I've got that set up. I have never done that before, but I'm willing to.
And I can see that, and I can feel that, and I know our listeners can hear that. I guess the only other question I have before I have you tell me a little bit about Stu, or Pearl Harbor survivor, who we're going to hear from in a minute. Maybe you have an answer for this, maybe you don't. How long do you plan on doing this? How long are you going to keep going with this?
For the rest of my life, as long as I can do it. Yeah, I feel I'm in good shape. This is my life's work now, and it's, I think, helping me keep me alive and interested. I appreciate living this long and doing as well as I think that I've done.
Isn't it amazing how, when you seek to give and to serve, how much comes back your way?
Exactly.
And I know that's how you feel about the time you spent with Stu Headley, who you told us is 6 years your senior, was
yes.
on the USS West Virginia on December 7th, 1941.
Yes.
How would you tell someone who's never met him before, how would you encapsulize Stu and what impresses you about him?
That's an easy one for me to answer. I hope he doesn't hit me later on. He gets enough adulation from the whole city and other countries. I'll say this about him. When I first met him, it was at the Pearl Harbor. They have a club, Survivors of Pearl Harbor. He has one of the most intriguing stories of anybody I've ever interviewed. He is the most active, I'll tell you that, the most active man I've ever met at that age, 95, he can walk better than me, he talks better than me, and definitely he has the best memory of any man, I think, alive. That man's memory. He remembers dates, time, probably the weather of the day. He knows everything. I just can't say enough about him, and I know your listeners are going to appreciate hearing from him.
Well, that's quite the introduction. But before I let you go, Stan, I just want to say thanks. Thank you for serving our country way back when, and thank you for this great service that you're providing for many more people than I'm sure you even realize.
Oh, yes, I think so, too. Well, you're quite welcome.
Well, that was quite an introduction. Did you hear what Stan had to say about you?
Yep.
Is it true that you have the best memory of any man alive?
No.
Who's got you beat?
I don't know, but there's somebody out there that's got a sharper mind than I have. The one that had a sharper mind was John Finn, who lived to be 101 years old. He had a sharp mind.
Another legend of Pearl Harbor.
Yep.
Absolutely. I never had the privilege to meet him, but I've certainly read a lot about him. And I've read a lot about you, because you get around. How busy is your calendar here, Stu?
all the way up to November.
And this is all filled with going to speak to different school groups, business groups, anyone
Travel,
that invites you?
The graduation class of the Annapolis Academy, honored by 8 officers of the class of 83, because I'm an honorary graduate of the class of 83. Then I go to a Padre ball game on Sunday, Monday the parade, Spirit of 45, representing the beginning of World War II, and a pilot who flew the last flight over Germany will represent the closing of World War II.
Wow.
Then we're going to have an 87-year-old woman on the float who was a Rosie the Riveter.
You know your calendar better than I know mine. Do you use a smartphone, or you got the old BlackBook? What
no
do you do?
No phone, no computer, no iPod, none of that.
It's all up
it's
here.
It's all up here.
Right under that signature cap of the Pearl Harbor Survivors Association. We're going to dive into the remarkable life story of 95-year-old Stu Headley when we come back. But first, if you're listening in the San Diego area, or maybe you're listening elsewhere, but you have a relative in the San Diego area who served in World War II, Stan Smith would love to come pay a visit and record an interview for your family to hang on to. You can give Stan a call at 858- 485-5398. I have this posted online for you as well at hometownheroesradio.com. That number again, 858-485-5398. Back with Pearl Harbor survivor Stu Headley when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this.